heard well enough. Or
beautiful, I can hear you very well.
Thank you, thank you. Okay, good morning, and thank you very much for inviting me back to do a chabura. It is my honour. As is always the case, I apologise in advance for anything heretical that I say. Most of it is probably not meant to be heretical. But do forgive me. Maybe a couple of quick words about actually the chabura. It's lovely to see some faces again, and it's nice to be back. The chabura is a wonderful institution which we have for 15 minutes before we normally start shul on a Shabbos morning. We get to hear some great shirim by the likes of Daniel Ehrreich and Ian Games, and not for a while, but hopefully we can tempt him back again, Daniel Greenberg, and obviously Arolf. It's not a big share, it's not a great big thing, it's a little intimate group, and it's a fantastic institution. So looking forward to this new way of doing it in the meanwhile, until we can get back onto our feet. But anybody who doesn't normally come, I would really encourage you to come along in the morning, because it's a lovely way to start any morning, but it's a lovely way to start Shabbos as well. I thought what I would like to try and talk about today is ideas of in these times that we have, as what we should be grabbing onto, so to speak. Or a lot of people have been talking about how, as we are sitting in our isolation, it's an opportunity to come close to family, ourselves, God, and this being a religious one. Then let's talk about coming close to God in a way. There's a Godol, or a group of Gedolim from the 1990s. I'm sure that a number of you will be familiar with the Temple of the Dog. It's a super group, including people from Pearl Jam and Soundgarden, and a number of the other grunge teams, bands at the time. And one of the most wonderful songs is called Times of Trouble. And actually I have the lyrics here, but it's disappeared already. But it's basically the idea is that in times of trouble, when somebody pushes you out on the ledge, hold on, let me see if I can find it. If somebody pushed you, somebody left you out on a ledge, if somebody pushed you over the edge, you got to hold on to your time till you break through these times of trouble. I actually find that there's a lot of godless and a lot of grunge, and would suggest that in addition to any chazonish you might be listening to on Friday, you might want to listen to that song. It's brilliant. And I think that's something natural that we want to do. We want to try and grab onto something in times of trouble, and these are definitely times of trouble. And I thought I'd try and look at it through the kind of the triumvirate, or the three-pronged Torah, Avodah, and Chesed, which at least when I was in primary school was the three different groups which we were all put into. But those are obviously three fundamentals. So starting with Torah first, I had a sicha by Rav Moshe Lichtenstein, who is one of the Rosh Yeshiva of my yeshiva, Yeshivat HaTzion, and he was talking about Torah learning. So this is somebody who heads up a yeshiva and sits and learns all day. He was asking, well, why actually is it that why do we learn Torah? What's the great thing about it? Yes, it's a mitzvah, but what more does it mean? And he gave a couple of examples. Sorry, gave a couple of answers. One of them is, I think, the critical idea that the Torah is God's invention. God's used the Torah as the blueprint for the world, so to speak. We are partners with God. That is why we're creators, trying to make the world a better place and trying to partner with God in developing the world. And the way of doing that is developing the Torah as well. So the more we learn Torah, the more we develop it. We're supposed to be developing it, inventing, not inventing new things, but understanding new routes through Torah, better understandings, etc. And that is one idea of learning Torah. The other idea, he said, is, God is incorporeal, in case you didn't notice, that there's nothing that we can point to in God's particular. We can't see, we can't touch. So what, if I want a hug from my parents, I can go up to them, for my wife or for my kids or whatever it is. I can, hold a hand, look at them, look at pictures of them, hug, that kind of thing. But I can't do that with God. And, this is Rav Moshe Lichtenstein speaking, who's by no means an emotional man. and Gush, which is by no means a yeshiva based on these kind of emotions. But he says that if I want to get close to God, if I feel that I have a need to reach out to God, a way that I have of hugging him, so to speak, is by learning Torah. That is what he gave me. And therefore, in times when I don't know what to do, in times when I'm trying to get close to God, I learn Torah, because that is a way that is given to me to connect with to connect with the divine. Now, that there's a machlokis, I'm going to say it's in the Gemara because it sounds good, I think, as to whether learning Torah in itself is sufficient. In other words, have we done our duty as good moral human beings by sitting all day and learning Torah and not doing anything with it, not practicing it? And there is obviously an argument which is put forward, which is, I think, the main one which many hold by, although not everyone holds by, it's that we can't just learn Torah. We need to do more with that as well. We're learning it for a particular purpose. So learning Torah by itself is arguably not sufficient. So let's think about Avodah next, in terms of way of how do we connect with the divine. Well, these connections, and actually it's this week's Sedra is a good one for those connections, in the sense that I guess on a couple of fronts. Firstly, you know, Rashi famously comments by Vayikra that the first word of the parsha, the first word of this book is Vayikra, and to call out Vayikra is a lashon chivuv, is a lashon of love, God's calling out to Moshe. And indeed, quotes from Yeshayahu, we say every day by Kedusha v'kara zeh el zeh v'yomar, the angels call to each other. And this calling is a calling of love. Moshe wanted to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem wanted to get to Moshe, and it's Vayikra, and he called out. But also that the focus of Vayikra, of the book of Vayikra, and also this week's Sedra, is the sacrifice service, is the avodah. And if we think about what a sacrifice is probably not a good translation of what a korban is, as the karev, which is to come close. Sacrifice is maybe more of the kind of, you know, the pagan or the non-Jewish concept of a sacrifice. And even though people like the Rambam will say that the institution of korbanos is more of a fop, an anti-pagan way of channeling the will to sacrifice things on an altar into something Jewish, but it is much more than that. It's about korban, coming close to God. I don't know whether anybody heard the Devar Torah this week from Rabbi Sacks. If you haven't, you should definitely listen to it. All of them are brilliant. But he talks about how you know, many of the Nevi'im, and he goes through a list, and, you know, ones which I've sometimes talked about in this context as well, who actually seem to rail against the concept of sacrifices, and talk about the redundancy, and talk about how God says, I don't want them. I'm not interested in your sacrifices. I'm not interested in your incense. Most famously, the beginning of the book of Yeshayahu, which we read on the Shabbos before Tisha B'Av. And so that there is a sense that in a lot of the Nevi'im, actually he started off by quoting Shmuel HaNavi, but certainly in a lot of the Nevi'im Acharonim, that the idea of sacrifice, the ritual of sacrifice, which we've had you know, ever since the Har Sinai, the Mishkan, and then the Beis HaMikdash, is something which is not ideal, or at least the way that it's treated is not ideal, which makes it very interesting then if we look at the Haftarah for this week, which is Haftarah also from Yeshayahu, then we have almost a surprising, if you want to say surprising, on that basis, a quote from Yeshayahu, where the beginning of the Haftarah, Hashem is saying, "Lo hiveso li ser olasech uzvavecha lo chi badatoni." You didn't bring me the sacrifices. Where is the where are the goats? Where your olos? Where your different type of sacrifices? I missed them. That you're not bringing them to me. Don't ignore me. Don't forget me. Which is counter to this running idea which we have in the lot of the Nevi'im Acharonim, as I was mentioned, that the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash is something which was being misused. So let's just think about that for a minute, or put it to aside for a minute, and we'll come back to that. In Vayikra itself, we're introduced to some of the sacrifices, and the personal sacrifices which somebody, or personal korbanos, which a person can bring. Firstly, we're introduced to the voluntary individual sacrifices, and then we're introduced to the obligatory ones. So the voluntary ones are the ones which you can choose to bring. If you feel that you want to get to say thank you to God, to get close to God, if you want to make some kind of gesture, physical gesture of coming close, you can decide to bring an olah, or you can decide to bring a shlomim, etc. Sorry, can people still hear me? I hear there's building noise. Are we okay?
Doing well. Can hear you.
Thank you. And then moving after that is into the sacrifices which we need to bring in response to having sinned, a chatos. And many people have talked about the differences between the two, and why do we first start off with the voluntary korbanos and only then go on to the sin offerings. And there are different ways which people take that. Some people say, well, obviously, the voluntary one is preferable because that's one which has come from the heart. Some people talk about the voluntary korbanos again being, akin to serving Hashem with ahava, and the sin offerings being akin to serving Hashem with fear, which many talk about as being not as a good way of getting close to Hashem, doing it through fear rather than doing it through through love. And there is, I've seen that one explanation given by Menachem Liebtek, that actually both of those sides hark back to different periods in the recent history from Vayikra trying to connect with the divine. One of the explanations as to why we're given the Korbanos and why we have the Mishkan, one which is preferred by the likes of the Ramban, is it is an ongoing bringing into the daily day-to-day ritual of the theophany of Ma'amad HaSinai, that one of the times that we came closest to God, we came closest to the divine, was at the revelation of Mount Sinai. That's not something which you can perpetuate day on day, but the Mishkan was a way to bring that through onto day to day. And then now that we've lost the Mishkan, the base of Midrash, that's translated into prayer itself. So it's trying to retain the highs of that very obvious and close and almost transparent connection between the person and God that we experience at Har Sinai. Rashi, though, sees the Mishkan and the requirement for the Korbanos here as a response to the Chet Egel, so to the sin of the golden calf. Therefore, what we're trying to do with the Korbanos and what we're trying to do with the sin offerings is to atone for what it is that we've done. And if you look at the language, which we certainly don't have time to do now, the language which frames the voluntary korbanos, which talks about reach nechoch la Hashem, and some of the voluntary korbanos themselves, so an olah and the shlomim, that's the language which is also used around use in the Torah when referring to Har Sinai, and were also the korbanos which were brought at Har Sinai. And if you look at the language which frames the obligatory korbanos and the ones which are in response to sinning, that again reflects the language which is used around, for example, Moshe saying you need to forget to Hashem, you need to forget the people after the Chet Egel. Both of them are ways of coming close to God. One voluntary, and the other as a sin. Particularly if one sees a sin not as just something I've done something wrong and I need to try and become a better person, or I need to pay my dues, but a sin as or being liable for koris is a way of distancing ourselves from the divine, and the korban stroke the davening is a way which Hashem reaches his hand out to us, so to speak, to allow us to reconnect to him. So both of those elements are seen in Vayikra, so both the individual reaching out, but also the requirement to reach out following the sin. So bringing it back into what we were talking about with the Nevi'im, which one is it then? Is it is it all the examples of the Nevi'im saying that Hashem isn't really interested in our sacrifices after all? Or should we be thinking about what Yeshayahu says in the Haftarah this week, that God is saying, well, where are my sacrifices? You're gone. I can't find you. Don't forget me. I'm here. Come back to me. With many of these things, it's obviously a mixture of both. When we see the Nevi'im, when they rail against the Korbanos, I think what they're doing is that they're railing against that being seen as a rite. It's kind of a magic token. How do I please God? How do I placate God? It's okay. I can bring a sacrifice and then we'll be fine. So we have the time, you know, before the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, when Yirmiyahu is threatening or saying that Hashem is going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, and the Jewish people at the time aren't listening to him and saying he will never destroy his temple. Look, we're bringing lots of sacrifices. Yes, it may be that we have slaves. Stroke, we're going to car washes with people who are kept on people who have been imported from abroad and are being kept in basic terms of slavery. But we're good people because we go to shul. Yes, it may be that we are involved in business dealings which aren't that wonderful and aren't that great and charging high interest, but that's okay because we bring a different type of sacrifice. And I was chazan this week for Musaf. Yes, it may be that I'm abusing my power over this person and I'm not treating that person right and I'm in relationships that I shouldn't be in, but that's really okay because I daven kedusha with a lot of intent and I brought another sacrifice. And what the Nevi'im are saying is that's not the point. Using these things, using a sacrifice or kissing a mezuzah or saying a perek of Tehillim or wearing a red band, all these kind of things, when they become magical tokens that we look to as a way of kind of getting out of anything which we may have done, is missing the point. That's not what the korban is there for. That's not what the mezuzah is there for. That's not what the tefillah is there for. That's not what the Tehillim are there for. If all you're doing is just random, is reciting Tehillim without thinking about it or without letting that change you, that's the point where these things are quote unquote bad. But on the other hand, it's also bad to forget about God, not to use any of these. God is saying, well, where are you? You know, reach out to me. I want to, you know, I want to have that connection. And so relying on a situation where we aren't looking to get close to Hashem, when we're not looking for the Korbanos and we're relying more on ourselves, is also one to avoid. The half of the Haftarah talks about the stupidity of idol worship and how, you know, we can go, or people who worship idols can go from, you know, using some wood on the one hand to be cooking their own meals and building their house, then with the rest of the wood which is left over building idols. I mean, it's all silly on that front. But I think what is being pulled out here, and obviously we don't worship idols as such now, but the idea is the reliance on things which we build, on the situations which we build, on you know, societies, financial situations, whatever it is that we rely on, that we think that this is what's going to bail us out in times of trouble. And forgetting God or not looking for that closeness with God is also something which, on the other hand, is also missing the point. And that's the side which I think that Yeshua was trying to bring at and after this week. And then finally, very briefly with Chesed, because I appreciate I'm running a little bit over time here. So we talked about Torah, we talked about Avodah, and we talked about Chesed. Now, Chesed is something I think particularly in the VM Acharonim, we talk about, and something which, you know, I like to talk about a lot, that Chesed is the way to go. If we don't know what to do, if we don't know how to thank God, if we don't know how to connect with God, this is an idea that I first discussed with Rabbi Zobin, then reach out and do Chesed, because within Chesed is God. Rambam famously says that in order to, you know, for us to think about how we should be living our lives, we should be looking to imitate God. We should be looking to walk in His ways. Famously, Hashem says to Avraham, about Avraham, that he and his family are going to walk in my ways. And what are my ways? The ways of tzedek and of mishpat, with this man of chesed. The Yirmiyahu talks about what it is that Hashem delights in. He delights in tzedakah, chesed, and mishpat. And that's something which the Rambam takes as the culmination of his Moron Levuchim and his Guide to the Perplexed, where, you know, everything leads up to this idea of this quote from Yirmiyahu of following chesed, tzedakah, and mishpat. But at the same time, he does give a warning, in the sense that it is not our concept of chesed, tzedek, and mishpat. It is God's concept of chesed, tzedek, and mishpat. What is important to remember, I think, just as in, you know, do we learn Torah, or do we act Torah? Do we reach out to tokens to as replacements for God, or do we reach out to God? And so when we do chesed, what chesed is it that we're doing? Is it what we think is chesed, or is it what God thinks is chesed? So, you know, one can describe this, maybe we recently had Purim, the story with Shaul HaMelech, who was kind to the king Agag and didn't kill him, and look what happened, you know, from that. And Shaul HaMelech himself, you know, ended up killing towns of innocent people because he decided to steer himself according to his own morality, what he thought was chesed, not what God said, this is my chesed, this is what I mean. Another way maybe of looking at it, again, is the Nietzsche's idea of morality. That the, you know, he debunks the idea of morality. There is one morality, big, with a big M for everyone. And he says that we need to understand why we are doing certain things. Are we being kind to people? Are we pitting people because it makes us feel good? It makes us feel better? It makes us feel more powerful over others? Or are we doing, or is this an act which we are actually doing for out of kindness in itself? And therefore, I think chesed, one can also have the two sides to chesed. Yes, we should be doing chesed, but it should be the chesed, as Hashem talks about, is chesed and tzedek and mishpat, and not just what what we think it is. Now, that's a whole shir in itself, which I certainly won't go into, but is one worth thinking about. So going back into thinking about what is it that we do in these times of trouble, I think it was hopefully interesting to talk a little bit about Torah, Avodah, and chesed there. For me, if I don't know what to do, I try and think about, well, how can I find the tzedek, chesed, and mishpat here? And I think a lot of people have been talking about it within these times, is that there are so many opportunities for chesed and tzedek and mishpat. When we are isolated from other things, but we still have our neighbors, we still have all the wonderful NHS workers, the doctors, the vulnerable people on our streets who we could be reaching out to. You know, if we're not volunteering with the NHS, why not? If we haven't reached out to Jewish Care to volunteer for their keeping in contact, why not? If we haven't reached out to other people to try and support, to try and make sure that, you know, society can work as best as it can at the moment, why not? Because surely that is where God is. What are my ways, says God? My ways are chesed, tzedakah, and mishpat. And together with the Torah, together with the Avodah, can only be a good thing. So anyway, those are some ideas. Wishing you all a very Merry Shabbos, and hope to see you all in person soon. I think that's it.